We welcome you, Homo sapiens and other members of the animal kingdom, any entity with ears, brains, and a lust and thirst for controversy and good political conversation, we welcome you to a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Adam being myself, and the professor, Dr. Ron L. Feinman, who's on the line with me in a place where it's probably a lot warmer than it is here. Been kind of rainy, some snow mixed in some areas, and seasonable temperatures, high temperatures, 40s, but sometimes lower. But that's all part of the fun of Ohio. The weather, like everything else, tends to change. How is the Mother Nature treating you your way, Ron? And again, thanks again for joining me on this great presentation that we do every week.
It was cool for a while. Now it's back to normal, which means warm.
Well, that's good to hear. They're in lovely Boca Raton in the state of FL. Multiple things today, Ron. As I like to tell people, we sometimes agree completely. Sometimes we disagree almost completely. Sometimes we have a mixed opinion. And sometimes I'm not even really sure if we're going to agree. The first thing I'm going to bring up is one of the ones where I suspect we will agree, but I'm not 100% sure. That I wouldn't really bet more than a couple dollars on it. Ron is a blogger, author, professor, all-around erudite, member of the Homo sapiens species, publishes a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read, bookmark, and if you don't agree with it, get out some rotten eggs and throw them at your laptop or your phone or utter any four-letter words that you wish. Or if you do agree, that's wonderful. Send Ron an email, a Facebook message. Tell him that you think he's wonderful, even if you don't agree with his opinions, which tend to the left, but not heavily to the left. Again, he's more of a Joe Biden type Democrat than Elizabeth Warren or, God forbid, Bernie Sanders or, God forbid, number two, Andrew Yang. But anyway, read the ProgressiveProfessor.com. You might learn something. Many of the articles aren't politically slanted. They're just tidbits of history without a bias one way or the other. And sometimes Ron does surprise people with how he views some issues. This, again, as a moderate, and I might consider myself a moderate, but I'm to the far extreme on some issues. It just kind of averages out. You certainly can get some satisfaction in knowing that by reading his correspondences, you will learn more about the world around us and stimulate the brain cells that you have. Pretty much sums it up, Ron. Over 11 years, you've been writing theprogressiveprofessor.com, and you really have no interest in changing that. You'll write it forever. I mean, it's something which you enjoy doing, and you like disseminating information. We touched on this last show and on previous shows, but on the 10th of December, you wrote in your blog about exactly which person former President Barack H. Obama will be choosing when he goes to first the Democratic primary and then the main election in just under a year from today. Pretty crazy. It's about 11 months, not even 11 months away. Certainly, we would expect Obama to be voting as a Democrat. That's not much of a surprise. But exactly which candidate will he be favoring? You write in your blog, Ron, there are strong rumors that Obama tried to convince his former VP, Mr. Biden, not to run, only to be ignored by Biden. Concerns that if Sanders or Warren is the nominee, that it will harm the Democrats' chances to win over Donald Trump. And I would say, of all the things Barack Obama has said, Ron, that is probably the top three of things that I agree with 100%. I could not agree more with what he has to say. There is no way on God's green earth, and you can quote me on this, you can go ahead and take this to the bank, my friends. If Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren runs against Donald Trump, they've got about the same chance of winning the election that Karen Pence has of being voted Gay Activist of the Year. And that chance probably isn't very good. I think you would agree with me, Ron. Maybe not to that extent, but I think you would be of the opinion that Warren or Sanders would be, out of lack of a better term, a stupid choice for the Democrats. They would never beat Donald Trump. And I'll tell you right now, I'd be voting for Donald Trump. Not happily, but I would never want a man that I consider to be a borderline communist anywhere near the White House. Warren, I admire her. I like the way she talks. And I think she would, as we've said, moderate in office. But this Medicare for All is ridiculous. Obamacare has killed the entire health insurance business. It was already on its last leg, but it's gotten worse now. And trying to institute Medicare for all would be the nail in the coffin. And first of all, neither of them is going to win. But if they did, I would vote for Donald Trump. But believe me, I wouldn't be very happy about it. I know, Ron, a lot of people are saying blue no matter who. Doesn't matter if it's someone that they don't like. And I'm not alone in my opinion of not liking Sanders or not liking Warren. But they feel that Donald Trump just has to go regardless. But would you disagree with me in that if the unlikely event that Warren or Sanders or even, let's say, Yang is Democratic nominee against Trump, you would still vote for blue, even though you wouldn't be happy about the nominee? Would that be a correct statement?
I would still vote blue, but I must say, after the events of this past few days in Great Britain with Boris Johnson and the Conservatives winning big, and it shocks me because it's going to destroy the United Kingdom, I think it's clear that the people of Britain, at least overall, do not want someone far to the left like the Labour Party leader, Jeremy Corbyn. And I do therefore think that either Warren, particularly Sanders, could not win. Warren, maybe, but unlikely. And I do agree that we need to pick someone more toward the center. And I think it would have to be either Joe Biden or Amy Klobuchar or Pete Buttigieg, one of those three, as it seems right now.
I mean, interestingly, Ron, of those three, Klobuchar is my favorite. I would suspect you would agree with me on that. And I would actually say that even though she's not doing well in the polls, and a lot of people, they can't pronounce her name, let alone even...
a bit in some of the polls, though. She's starting to rise a bit, but very slowly.
Let alone see her as a serious candidate. I think she actually, arguably, of those three, has the best chance of beating Trump. Now, that's a weird statement, as we've shown that against a moderate female candidate, Mrs. Clinton, Trump beat her, and beat her rather resoundingly. For as I say, I knew he would win Ohio, but not by the margin that he did. And I knew once the election was over, once I saw how he hammered in a victory against Hillary. But with Klobuchar, she and Hillary are similar in some ways, dissimilar in others. And I would think she actually could beat Trump, even though she seems like a bit of an also-ran at this point. Buttigieg, I don't think he would beat Trump, but I think he has a chance. Biden, if he acts like the Biden of 10 or 20 years ago, not the one now who seems kind of disinterested and seems to be a man who is approaching 80, then I think it would be a pretty resounding victory. But at this point, it's really up in the air. As I was telling you when we were talking online a few days ago, Ron, I do think Trump will be winning a second term. No, that's not what I would like. I would, I'd like to see Klobuchar. And I would not mind Biden.
Klobuchar has won statewide a number of times. Yeah. And the point is that she even won Michelle Bachmann's congressional district, as she points out, in her own Senate race, the former congresswoman who is, of course, way to the right. The thing is, she is a winner of the statewide race, while Pete Buttigieg has only won in a town, in a community of about 100,000. And Joe Biden last ran for office on his own in, 2002, I guess. In that kind of when he ran for for vice president of the United States. So I do think that Amy Klobuchar also has a prosecutorial background as in Minnesota, and I think she's as tough as nails. And even the fact that she seems to be a bit of a difficult boss, while people don't like it, I do think a lot of our presidents have been difficult bosses, and they're men. And the fact that she might be tough on her staff maybe isn't nice, but maybe it shows she's tough as nails and she can really go after Trump and do a good job in debates. Yes.
Yeah, I don't see that as being bad. And goodness sakes, Donald Trump, I wouldn't want to work for him.
It but seems also like Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton, I wouldn't want to work for either. I think most of these presidents would be pretty hard to work for. I think Obama was easier to work for, but most presidents are just not very nice people when it comes to the way they treat their staff. So the fact that Klobuchar is that way, well, she's a woman, but you shouldn't be having a double standard.
But as a president, you're like a sports coach. Being too nice just doesn't cut it. It's been a problem with a couple of manager head coaches in Cincinnati, Dusty Baker, Marvin Lewis, outstanding, smart men in their field. But especially with Lewis, he was just too nice. And that doesn't work if you're a head football coach. You got to be like Ditka. Got to be kind of it starts with an A and has seven letters. That's best. And Sparky Anderson, again, great guy to talk to, have a beer with. But when it comes to what he says in the locker room, you better listen. I mean, skinny guy, not very imposing in the way that he looks, But even if, you know, you're a superstar, a big guy like Johnny Bench or George Foster, you know, from the Big Red Machine days that, you know, I relish and still remember and still live in a fantasy world that they're still the current Reds team, and of course they're not, you better listen to him. And even Johnny Bench and Pete Rose were a little afraid of Sparky Anderson, even if he was half their size. But you know what? That's what you got to do. And the same thing with being a president. As I mentioned, one of my younger friends, Ron, he said he likes Donald Trump because he is such a, and starts with an A and has seven letters and two syllables. And that is part of his appeal. It just sometimes he takes that too far, and we'll discuss that in related matters later in the show. You know, Biden, he is a laid-back guy. You can't really see him as getting mad, which may or may not be good. You like him kind of coming across as your friendly uncle or grandpa. But would he put his foot down when needed? I think he would as president, just like I think Warren would moderate as president. But we shall see if he does win the nomination. Well, we may find out what he's like in debates against the Donald and what he's like sitting behind the desk at the Oval Office if we were to win. Of course, we don't know.
Yeah, I want to see the scenes about Michael Bloomberg, whether he has any future. He's spending $100 million on commercials, but I don't think he's going to be able to win the nomination. And I wonder what he's like to work for. I have never heard much about what kind of a boss he is, but I'm really turned off to his campaign because of his spending level.
Yeah, I know. Bloomberg and Yang, they don't look alike. They're of different ancestries, but in terms of their philosophies and the way they're funding their campaign, they both seem kind of similar. They're both kind of wacko also, if you want my opinion.
And Tom Steyer also is another person very wealthy who's spending a lot of money.
None of them. Again, they have about the same chance of winning the nomination. Well, I would say it's a little higher than the chance that Sanders or Warren could beat Trump. But again, it's not much higher than the chance that, as I said, Karen Pence has of being the guest of honor at the Indiana Gay Pride Parade, and the chance of that happening probably isn't very good. So that's what I have to say about those people. But again, bottom line is, Ron, I would rather vote for a moderate Democrat against Donald Trump. Mayor Pete, at least at this point, I mean, I have to find out more about him. But I guess, you know, I can't say I'm ready to become the president of his fan club, but the good outweighs the bad. He at least gets a B-. Mayor Pete, or Joe, who is likely to be the nominee, I would at this point be rather confident I would vote for them against Donald Trump, barring a very stupid choice for vice president. But I think they're both smart enough to make a good VP choice, so that probably will not be an issue. I gladly voted for Hillary. I didn't think Kane was a good choice, but I didn't dislike him. I just thought he was kind of boring and didn't balance her out well. And that kind of bit her where the sun don't shine, as my mom used to say. So hopefully the next Democratic contender will learn a lesson from that. But thinking
maybe it could be Klobuchar and Brown. How about that?
Yeah,
he's older than her by 8 years.
But I'm not the greatest fan of Sherrod Brown. Again, he's not articulate. He's a bit to the left. He's not that interesting, but he is from Ohio, where Democrats have to win. And again, the good outweighs the bad. He is a good man. You know, I agree with him on a lot of things. He's experienced. He's smart. I wish he was better spoken and more charismatic, but that's okay. Plus, I like his wife the same way that I like Joe Biden's wife. And, you know.
Yeah, two great ladies. Yeah.
It's Minnesota,
Ohio ticket or Midwest, which is where she had trouble.
But again, yeah. There's enough good in there, and geographically, which is just so important, he would be a good choice. And regardless of what he told Scott Spears, I think he would gladly take the nomination. Don't always listen to what these people have to say. How many times has Hillary said she wasn't going to run again? Well, she ran the most recent election. Now there's hints she might run in 2020. So
my God, hope not.
But you're thinking, Ron, that when Mr. Obama goes to the voting booth, he will be pressing the lever. One state to the east of where he resides. I think they're in some nice part of the south side of Chicago, I believe. So he'll be going over one state to the east and voting for Mayor Peter Buttigieg as his favorite candidate. And I would tend to agree with you. Buttigieg, a little bit like John Kennedy, a bridge to the future. But such a difference, Ron, when John Kennedy, we talked about some parallels last week, and John Kennedy was the option. He had a much younger spouse, and interestingly, Chastin Buttigieg, a potential first spouse, a first gentleman, whatever, they haven't really invented a term yet, but a first dude, whatever he would be called.
We'll be 7.5 years younger, yes.
Right. He would be about the same age that Jackie Kennedy was when she became the first spouse. Although John Kennedy was older. He was like 43, 44, I believe. And
43 and 31. In this case, it'd be 39, 31 and a half.
So older, but not a lot older. More big brother age than father and child age. So interesting parallels there. Chastin Buttigieg, a great supporter of his husband, and that's great. He wouldn't expect anything else. A teacher, a smart guy, but not glamorous. You know, not glamorous like Jackie Kennedy was. That isn't everything. You know, and glamour can also invite controversy. Melania Trump is glamorous, but also rather controversial, especially in the events of the last...
Especially now that she's critical of someone attacking Barron, but she has no trouble, apparently, with her husband attacking Greta Thunberg. And
right. Well, we're going to...
Time Magazine Person of the Year. Yeah.
Hopefully talk about that this show, and I think that'll be something where we agree partially and disagree partially, but that's all part of the fun. So some parallels, but, you know, a lot of the thing about John Kennedy... Ron, besides the fact that he redhead, beautiful wife, a very good looking couple with cute kids who are also glamorous and always well dressed. The main difference about him was that he was Catholic, which to me seems like it's barely a big deal. Biden's Catholic, although he's not very religious. But as we talked about a month ago on a show, do people even know what religion he was? I didn't even know he was Catholic until you told me. But he's not that religious. He's kind of a sort of non-practicing Catholic. That's not even a big deal anymore. But it was in the 60s when Kennedy was our first Catholic president. And now we have a president who's gay, which certainly in the 60s would be unheard of. Especially since that was 10 years before the American Psychological Association or Psychiatric Association took homosexuality off the list of mental illnesses. Thankfully, for the last 45 years, it's not been considered a mental illness, and certainly it isn't. But at this point, is it even really a big deal? Are there some people who would not vote for a gay president, no matter how much they like him or her? There's some people who would vote for...
Well, there were also 50, 60 years ago, people wouldn't vote for a Catholic. Same evangelical right didn't like a Catholic. Now they don't like a gay person.
Yeah. But it just kind of depends. I mean, you are voting for the person's lifestyle, for the person's innate qualities, person's family. Buttigieg would be unique. We talked last week. I was wrong that Chastin would only be the third youngest first spouse. And that was kind of surprising. Grover Cleveland had a much younger wife, and Jackie Kennedy, slightly younger than Chastin would be, both in their early 30s, that they don't have any children, biological or adopted. They've talked about adopting, but have not followed through. They have a dog or a cat, I believe, but there have been presidents without children, but most presidents have been what we call nuclear families, the Obamas being an excellent example. Husband, wife, they seem very happy together. Two daughters, you know, they got a dog, and life goes on. And it's always good to see that, but that isn't always the most important thing. Ronald Reagan was divorced. Of course, he was in show business, where divorces are kind of run rampant, and he was still friendly with his ex-wife, Jane Wyman. It wasn't a dirty divorce. It was a friendly divorce. But with Nancy, you know, and their kids, they certainly seemed happy. Donald Trump, yes, he's had three wives, which isn't wonderful, but whether he's happy with Melania, that's up to debate. I mean, who knows? I mean, you hear a lot about that couple. So, you know, I wouldn't call them a nuclear family, but they are traditional in that it's a male, female, and a child. And the Buttigieges would certainly add to the mix. And whether that's good or bad, well, as a voter, as an American, as a person relishing free speech, make up your own mind. I think it'd be kind of cool, but it's not the only reason why I would support him as president. I do want to take a look at the issues. So, Ron, as I mentioned, you write the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. And so let's talk now about some facts. One of the many news stories since we last talked, and it seems like every day there's enough news stories for us to fill up a 5-hour show. On Friday the 13th, that was pretty appropriate, you write, it's official, Donald Trump becomes fourth president to have House Judiciary Committee adopt the articles of impeachment. So he joins Tricky Dicky, Andrew Johnson, and Mr. Clinton as someone who has been impeached, but will probably not be indicted and forced from office. Now, Richard Nixon probably would have, but he was in the process of committing a rather serious criminal act, and so he resigned. Johnson barely missed it. Clinton missed it by a comfortable margin. It's been along party lines, Ron. I believe that every Democrat voted to impeach. Every Republican voted not to impeach. So with that in mind, he is not likely to become an ex-president due to the actions of the Senate. The impeachment trial will take place.
It would be an amazing miracle if it did happen.
In January, with Chief Justice John Roberts presiding, as previously Judge Justice Salmon P. Chase in 1868, William Rehnquist in 1999. So the bottom line is, Ron, he will probably not get confirmed or indicted, whatever the proper word is. He would go down as the fourth president to be impeached by the House, but that really is semantics. He will not get removed from office. Would we be pretty comfortable in saying that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the thing is, Nixon wasn't actually impeached by the whole House because he resigned, but he was impeached by the Judiciary Committee.
But he probably would have been removed, but you never really know because
he
quit. And Gerald Ford pardoned him, and that certainly affected Ford's ability to get reelected. But an enigma there for sure. Ford was put in a very difficult situation. He was never elected directly, as he was appointed when Agnew resigned prior to his boss Nixon. All those gentlemen are now deceased. We don't know. But I would say that they're all up there in heaven kind of giggling at the whole situation, and Nixon especially saying, I look like the Tooth Fairy compared to Donald Trump in some ways. So
yes, and I still wish Gerald Ford was vice president now, not Mike Pence. Just wish. But
yeah, Ford, very moderate Republican. His wife, Betty Ford, we both miss her dearly, great admirer. She would be moderate, probably more on the Democratic side, and what she has done in her legacy for the serious drug abuse problem has been wonderful. And also showing that drug abusers come in all shapes, sizes, colors, races, and economic statuses. Even though she was an upper-class person who's dressed well and presented herself well, she had a problem with alcohol and medication and wasn't proud of her addiction, but worked to help stop a serious problem, which unfortunately has gotten, if that's a word, seriouser. And the Betty Ford Clinic, where many famous people go to, great lady, one of the first ladies, along with a few others, Hillary obviously, who increased the role of the first lady. It's almost where it seems like she's a co-president, like they would say about Clinton, that Hillary was as much of a president as her husband was. Although,
I think Michelle, co-president.
Yeah,
she was very active too, Michelle Obama. And
again, Michelle Obama and Hillary being the first ladies with a post-graduate education. They're both attorneys. And we have Melania, not super well-educated, but she speaks a large number of languages. And a very controversial figure, and Ron and I like to talk about our differing opinions of her. We agree on one thing, that she's easy on the eyes, but that's about it. I think we agree that she's a good mother in a difficult situation to her son, and that's not an easy job at all, having a school-age kid in the White House. But other things, we agree partially. We giggle about a lot of things, and some things we might shout at each other, but that's all part of the free speech that we enjoy in this great country. As I mentioned on Facebook, Ron, a while back, I think that the fact that Trump will get impeached, which is really just semantics, but not
this week,
not get convicted, will actually help him. He will be bragging about it during his campaign, saying, let him impeach me. I'm still president. I'm still sitting here behind the Oval Office.
His obituary will happen in one of the early paragraphs, just as it will with Bill Clinton and as it did with Richard Nixon and Andrew Johnson. It will always be a stain on his record.
Do you think that it will help him and that he'll think he beat the system? Of course he'll be bragging about it. We know that. But will it help him, or will it bite him in the where? What do you think? You agree with me that it may help
him in the long run. I guess the base will back him, but I don't think he's going to get any support based on it. And again, it's part of his obituary. He cannot wipe it out. It's going to be in one of the early paragraphs, as with the other three.
So, other two. Mr. Clinton is still with us.
Well, three, I mean, with Bill Clinton, when he passes away, it'll be part of his obituary, yeah.
Okay. Well, Bill Clinton, Ron, is younger than you are. So,
he is.
Keep that in mind.
A year and about 7.5 months younger.
And we'll talk about that shortly, of course. But
so is George W. Bush, so is Obama, and so is Trump. They're all younger.
age is only a number. In your case, in my case, it's just an increasing number. So let's see here. Okay. And you mentioned also on December 14th, the 220th anniversary of the death of our first president, Mr. George Washington of Cherry Tree, Chopping Down fame and false teeth fame, who set a great standard for presidential leadership. But now, 220 years after his passing, we have a president who has abused power more openly than the aforementioned Tricky Dicky, more than Bill Clinton or Andrew Johnson, or has wished he could be president for life. Of course, that is our esteemed President Donald John Trump, formerly of New York, now of Florida. Where you hang your hat there, Ron. I'm sure you're glad to have him as a fellow Floridian. So let's get into something a little bit humorous in a sidelight. Then we'll get to maybe some more controversial topics because the clock keeps ticking. You're familiar, Ron, with our mutual brother in broadcasting, Mr. Mike Essen. Fellow talk show host. I'm not sure if he has blocked you currently or what the status is, so I don't even know. But
he does not respond to me, no, which just shows how small-minded he is.
He tends to have, again, he's conservative, and in many ways he's very conservative, like his abortion opinion, which is certainly not coincident with mine. On the economy, on illegal immigration, he agrees with me for the most part, or I'd say I agree with him. And then there are some things where we just kind of shake hands and say, well, we don't have to agree. We both respect each other. We're not going to swear at each other or unfriend each other. We'll just agree to disagree because that's what makes America great. Climate change would might be an example of a topic like that. But a sensitive topic like abortion, he and I, again, oil and water would be an understatement. But anyway, Ron, sometimes he has some rather famous politicians on his show. I'm not sure if you noticed this, but he was supposed to have Marco Rubio on several days ago, and he was kind of getting excited about it on his show on Blog Talk Radio. And I would be excited. Marco Rubio, he was a rather front-running presidential contender in the last election and didn't make it, of course, but he certainly had his support. He's well-known. You know, Donald Trump bullied him like he kind of bullies anybody he doesn't like, calling him Little Marco, although, granted, he is of short stature, but that's still kind of mean. And me, I like to kind of poke fun at the fact that his ears are about as big as his head, which is okay because they are. They're, you know, they're kind of large. So anyway, Rubio is supposed
to... Obama has large ears, very large.
Not as large as Rubio's, and Obama is taller than...
I never thought about it.
Obama is taller than Rubio, plus his build.
Yeah.
It is common that tall, thin men like Obama have big ears. That's just kind of common.
I never thought about it.
Lincoln also, again, he had, we think he had Marfan syndrome, which is, you know, relatively more common among men of his stature. And so just due to his build. But Rubio, I don't know, he's 5'6", 5'7", right? At least a foot shorter than Obama. And it just, the ears just kind of stick out. I mean, it's not a big deal, but I think I just kind of brought up because they're definitely out there. I remember Joan Rivers would talk about Prince Charles, who has large ears, but he's kind of tall and thin too. But they are kind of big. And I remember during one of Joan Rivers's stand up comedy routines, which was on her record that I used to play a lot about Prince Charles. Yeah, again, marrying Lady Di, who was very beautiful, and Prince Charles, even when he was younger, was not much to look at. So she would say, just go poof, and he would hang glide over the Falkland Islands. And that he could pick up cable TV with those ears. So kind of reminds me of the issue with Rubio. I was like, yeah, Joan Rivers, may she rest in peace. What a talented comedian. What a groundbreaker for female.
Yeah, but Marco Rubio comedians. Is much handsomer than Prince Charles ever was, I think.
Yeah, Prince Charles, and I don't think Lady Di married him for his looks, but whatever turns you on, I guess. Bottom line is Rubio canceled. We're not quite sure why. At the last minute, literally within a few hours of the show, and didn't make a lot of people happy. Ooh. I mean, Mike was excited to have him, and I think I would be. I was going to listen. I mean, I thought it would be a great conversation. Honestly, I think Mike Essen is to the right of Rubio, and that might have caused for some interesting conversation. And of course,
reason for the cancellation?
Yeah, no, we don't know yet, but I guess he was going to talk to his press secretary and find out. Of course, when I saw the announcement, you know me, Ron, always the joker, I indicated on, because he's on an internet-only station, Blog Talk Radio, which, of course, you're on there, too, with Gwen and some other people from time to time. But I mentioned that in a comment after Mike had posted that Rubio would be on, that he could pick up the station easily because he had those big ears that could kind of like be a satellite dish. It's kind of the same thing that Joan Rivers said about Prince Charles. I was kind of stealing or borrowing, but I'm sure you're up there in heaven, in the comedy stage in heaven, Joan. I'm sure you don't mind me kind of plagiarizing your joke because it is funny. And Mike commented with a laugh, you know, saying, okay, we know he has big ears and it's kind of funny. And we talk about getting satellite TV or something. And then I kind of felt guilty, Ron, because when Rubio canceled, I asked in the comment thread, did he cancel because I made fun of his ears? So I don't know. I mean, maybe he did.
I'm sure that was it.
But I mean, Donald Trump made fun of him and called him Little Marco, and he still debated Donald Trump. So I really don't think that that was the reason, but I would be very upset with myself if it was. And if
no,
it was.
But you know, the thing about Republicans is that he can insult them, Trump, like he did with Ted Cruz or Mitt Romney, but they keep on coming back. They accept all the things he says and still deal with him. And I don't, same with Rubio, and I don't understand why.
I don't know. I don't really think that Rubio, if he might have read the threat. He knows he has big ears, so I seriously doubt that he canceled because I made fun of his ears. But if he did, I'd feel kind of guilty about it. All I can say, Marco, is if you're listening, you are welcome to pick any physical feature of me and make fun of it. It doesn't bother me. I have other problems that I'm more concerned about, you know, high cost of health care, pollution, crime, traffic, all that good stuff. Make fun of me. I really don't care. I'll laugh as hard as you do. So hopefully Marco Rubio or maybe some other famous politician will be on again with Mike Essen. And we do agree, Mike. We don't agree with a lot of his opinions, but we do agree he's an excellent interviewer. He doesn't mind challenging people. And he's a good guy. Even if you don't agree with him, you respect him because he is well-spoken. I know you saw him speak in person a few months ago. You had a chance to meet him. And he's an interesting guy. Don't have to agree with him, and that's part of what makes America great is all of our ability to have free speech. So we do encourage it. Again, follow Mike Essen. You'll find opinions very different from Ron's and different from some of mine, but we agree on some things. And form your own opinion and listen to his show because he, even if it's not Marco Rubio, does have interesting guests on. And if nothing else, dialogue would certainly be invited. And that's a great thing about talk radio and opening up the floor to discussions. So in looking at my news feed lately, Ron, I saw an article. Now, it was from Fox News. I know how much you love Fox News, so I want to give you that caveat. So this article published over the weekend by Adam Shaw. I like his name. You won't like where he works, Ron, Fox News, but that's okay. Still has a good name. Illegal immigrants to be able to get driver's licenses in New York after a legal challenge fails. Now, when I saw that, Ron, my blood started boiling. Not that I didn't already know that they were going to do that, but I do not think that that is cool. You and I, if we go to buy medication with a decongestant, with pseudoephedrine, you know what I mean. We have to provide our driver's license, sign a statement, basically prove to the satisfaction of the pharmacist that we're not going to be making methamphetamines or other medication. We fly on a plane, and you recently went to Europe with your son, David. You got to take your belt off, your shoes off. They have to x-ray you and basically treat you like a common criminal to get you to board the plane. Now, I agree with the screening process for airlines. We really have to do everything we can to be sure the airlines are a safe industry. Now, some of the rules are kind of ridiculous, and some I think may even need to be strengthened. But I really have no problem with taking off your shoes or your belt because those can be hiding places. But pseudoephedrine, I don't think that signing a statement is going to stop anything. It's not going to stop people from making meth. It's rather embarrassing and invasive. It's not a big deal. It's just a signature and an ID, but I don't agree with it. So bottom line is, with all those things in place for law-abiding middle-aged citizens like yourself and myself, Ron, the entire state of New York, state that I've lived quite a bit of my life in, illegal immigrants will now be able to obtain driver's licenses, and starting next week, which would probably later this week, after a last-minute legal challenge was dismissed, making it the 13th state to allow the practice, but one that critics say is unconstitutional. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the Green Light Act, allowing anyone to apply for a driver's license regardless of immigration status and does not require a Social Security number. You can use a combination of documents like a passport from a foreign country and a valid foreign driver's license. Are you like me, Ron? Does that make your blood boil? I would suspect you don't agree with it, but probably not to the extent that I do, or would I be mistaken?
I'm not aware that it was New York. I thought it was New Jersey that was doing this, I thought I saw.
Right, so there's 13 states total, but New York became the 13th recently.
I think New Jersey is also moving in that direction. I was not actually aware that New York was doing this until you said it, New Jersey, next door. I have a mixed feeling because people who are here need to be able to get around, and if they can't drive, I guess in New York you can always use public transportation in the city, but if you're upstate, you know, I don't know. You know, I can understand the viewpoint. I don't really like it, but it is awfully hard to go to work and survive if you can't have transportation and you have to only count on public transportation. So I'm sort of like in the middle on this. I don't like it, but I understand the reasoning behind the idea that, you know, that people have to have the ability to get to work to survive to make a living. So I think that's a factor to consider, let's say.
So we'll call this mostly agreed, not totally. Here's my solution, Ron. Don't break into the country illegally. And if you're here and your work visa, student visa is running out, get it renewed or get out. Follow the immigration rules. You won't have to worry about it. I'm from a family of immigrants.
That's
most
true.
Americans are. That's my solution. So again, we mostly agree. Yes, I agree. It's hard to get around in most of Ohio cities. You need a car. But you know what? Come here legally. If you're here illegally, I have no sympathy for you. Be it health care, be it getting a car, be it getting a job. Get the you-know-what out and come here legally, just like my ancestors did. That's what I have to say about that. So I think we mostly agree. You probably don't to the extent or the anger amount that I do, but the general concept is that not a lot of sympathy. And come here legally. Don't break the law. I don't know how else to say it. So got a few minutes left, Ron. We may even have to table the Greta Thunberg discussion till next week. And that's one again. We'll agree partially. I'm not totally, though. But we often have been repeating this show on Tuesday and Thursday. But sometimes I talk about computers. Sometimes I come in the studio and talk about politics, computers, or the weather, or almost anything else. So I guess if you're hearing this show on Tuesday, I decided just to repeat it because it was so good. And if you listen on Tuesday, you might notice that Ron might sound a little bit older than he did when you listened on Sunday. Now, Ron, you'll be celebrating a major birthday on Tuesday, December 17th. And Ron, like myself, is someone who is a bit older than he might look or might seem. We discussed that he is actually older than Bill Clinton or Donald Trump. Not as old as Joe Biden, though.
W. Bush or Joe Biden is older than me. He's born in 1942. I'm born in 1944. I'm going to be 75 years old, tomorrow.
Now,
December 17th.
Do you think when you're Joe Biden's age in like 3 years, are you going to lose half your hair? And is your nice dark hair going to turn white? Is that going to happen in 3 years, or are you eternally a brunette with a nice full head of hair? What do you think the hair forecast is for you, Ron?
Well, I'm not going to lose hair because I would have had it already. I have to admit that I do have it touched up every 6 weeks. So after 6 weeks, it looks a little more gray, not white, but you know, but it's not as if I have totally dark hair. I don't. I'm confessing to that.
But you know, Mr. Obama, his hair was kind of partially gray, dark.
Never quite.
I think he touches
to
it up
that.
Too, so it's not a big deal. I mean, it just doesn't matter. But
he touches it up. Obama, does he? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, not quite. But you know, honestly, the salt and pepper look I think was rather flattering on him. But I mean, you know, whatever Michelle likes.
Is I have no wrinkles at 75, like a lot of people might at that age would. I stayed out of the sun. I don't have a lot of sun, and I still have a wrinkled face. That's very important to me.
Well, definitely, you're rather youthful and not bad looking man at 3/4 of a century. And let's hope you have 3/4 more centuries.
You've seen the pictures of me with David in D.C. when I went for his special honors, so you could see what I really look like. Yes.
Yes, and quite easy on the eyes. For sure, and we admire your health, your healthy lifestyle as you enter the 4th quarter of your first century with many, many more years to come. Should we sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. I have much more of a talking voice, so all you're going to get is the final.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one thing before we go, that 54 years ago when I was a senior in college, I did student teaching. I thought I was going to teach in high school, and I had juniors who were 16 years old, and the other day I was thinking about it, and I said, my God, I was 21, they were 16, they were juniors in high school, and now they're 70 years old, and I'm 75, and I had to laugh over it.
And I bet you look better than they do now. That would be the ultimate reward.
Well, get this. I spoke to a senior citizen group, and I mentioned where I had taught at high school for student teaching, and this one lady in her 90s said, oh, I live in that district. My kids were in that school. One was a year older and one a year younger. I didn't have them. I asked the name. But I said, why don't you ask them if they, because I know two names I remember from 54 years ago, ask them if they remember either of these guys, and it would be funny if they actually knew them still or at least knew who they were, because that's a small world as you come across somebody in their 90s having a son and daughter who was 71 and 69. And they're telling me about it.
Yeah, you sometimes remember those kind of things. Even if I can't remember what I had to eat the last couple of days or where I parked my car, you remember some information like who you went to school with, where you went to school. But one of the fascinating...
Well, I have these two names of guys, but I've always wondered whatever happened to them. So, you know, after 54 years, but they look a lot different than they did at 16, I can be sure.
Yeah, one of the fascinating things about the human mind. Well, we were going to talk about Greta Thunberg and being the, I think that's how you pronounce it. I mean, Thunberg might be more European pronunciation, but, you know, Greta, the famous young environmental activist, and Donald Trump in his comments, Melania's lack of willingness to stand up for Greta versus kind of passively standing up for her husband, the Donald. Does she deserve to be Time's Person of the Year? We'll talk about that stuff maybe on the next show because we're out of time and I wanted to table this important, stimulating discussion for a future show. We do thank you again, Ron, for being with us. And again, you will be a full-time 75-year-old when we talk to you next time and look forward to doing that. Going strong.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Blog going strong, and you do make occasional appearances with Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, including an appearance recently, which you can get on our website.
Over 100 times with you, yes.
At WWGH1071.com. Thank you again, Dr. Ron L. Fineman, for being with us on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.